everybody. Welcome back to a brand new edition of The Odds Honest Truth. I am your host, Craig Gorbanoff, producer Craig at CGorbs94, whatever on earth you want to call me. Totally fine. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week and every week and growing our Odds Honest Truth community. My man right, I messed it up. My man right over there is Rich Wilhelm at Coda522. Been with me every step of the way through every iteration of our sports talk radio career. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Coda522 and make sure you check out this show on Twitter at Odds Honest Truth, right? Right down there. At Odds Honest Truth. Lots of great plays, lots of up-to-the-minute updates, really fun community over there. But really, one of our favorite communities right now is our Chalkboard community that we are growing. And we had Ted Mose on last week to talk about this brand new app, Chalkboard. But it's really, it's an incredible app that, and we're very proud to be partners with. But it's created a nice social sports betting community. You can track all of your bets, all of your plays right within the app. You can share those bets and plays all within your message boards with all your friends. Let everyone know when you hit, when you lose, any kind of crazy angle you have. And we're having tons of fun over on the Chalkboard app. Make sure you download it today. Join the Odds Honest Truth message board. You can get all kinds of crazy plays, crazy parlays. Rich has been on fire lately. Rich is betting at a clip that is insane. We have listeners of the show sharing 11-team NBA parlays that are cashing. We have Thomas Crincoli, who's joining the show later, who's just on an NHL tear. And then we're getting all the guys from the In the Money Media Network involved, too. Matt Bernier just joined. We'll have Jonathan Kinchin joining. We'll have Peter Thomas Fornatel in there. It's going to be a real plethora of sports betting knowledge in the Chalkboard community, where you're going to get all the up-to-the-minute latest picks and plays. And then the really cool part about the app, too, is that you can track all of your bets in there. So the best way to become a better bettor is to pay attention to what you're doing and what is hitting and what is winning and what angles work for you and what angles don't. And Chalkboard has all that information right at your fingertips. And you can also check out what your friends are doing successfully and not just getting the fisherman's version of the tale. You're going to actually be able to see what people are doing, how they are playing, and if it is making money for them. So definitely a lot of fun. Check out the Chalkboard app. We tweet the link out all the time, so you can find it right on Twitter, or you can just search the App Store for Chalkboard. All right, Rich, I think that's all of our thank yous and stuff. I probably should say a thank you to the In the Money Media Network and all the fine folks over there who allow us to do this show on their network. Cool. That's it. Let's get into it. Let's talk some NFL football. This is a really exciting week, Thanksgiving week. My favorite day of the year is Thanksgiving. One, because I love overeating, but two, it's a day full of football and beers. We're actually having iced coffee this morning, not beer this week, because we're recording this at 10:45 Wednesday morning instead of 10:45 at night like our usual. Let's just dive right in here, and we start out with a real terrible game. It's a real garbage game, but in these garbage game situations, I do sometimes think there are some really fun player prop scenarios. So let's dive right in. It's the Chicago Bears. It's the Detroit Lions. Have yet to win a game, but they did tie one. Let's dive right in. I've been talking for a while, so I'll throw it over to you. How are you betting this first game of Thanksgiving football?
I mean, not well. It's just this could be a game that could end in like a 3-0 type thing, or it could be a 45-42 type game, or it could be a tie. Like this is definitely a battle of two really bad teams. I think really the only difference in this game is addition by subtraction and subtraction by addition. So I'm talking about the quarterbacks. You know, I think Andy Dalton right now is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. I think he's just more of a game manager. You know, he has the ability to make the pieces around him better. I'm talking about Montgomery and Mooney, which we're going to talk about. Fields is just not there. They put him in too early because the fans wanted him in, and it's an experiment that has not been working well. On the other side of the ball, it's hard to find someone worse than Jared Goff, but Tim Boyle, he did it.
Congratulations.
He's the guy. He's the worst. In college, he had more interceptions than touchdowns, which, you know, that's pretty good, right? So it's really going to come down to those guys battling. And to me, I know we're going to differ on this, but I have the Bears minus three. $25 wins you $47.73, just because I think Andy Dalton is going to be the difference in this one. I know the running backs are going to, you know, have a lot to say about that, but I just don't think that Tim Boyle can keep up with Andy Dalton, which sounds atrocious coming out of my mouth because they're both very bad. But I know you have the opposite side of it, so I'm going to let you jump in right now. Why do you think the Lions are going to be plus three?
Yeah, this game is really a bit of a coin flip. It's who's going to be worse. And the thing with the Detroit Lions, and I'll throw the caveat in here that I'm not going to bet the spread in this game. I'm going to stick to the player props. But my personal opinion here is that the Lions are one of these teams that just they keep it close always. And when you look over their last couple of games, they may be 0-9-1, but they're 6-4 against the spread this season. Their last four games, they're 3-1 against the spread. Those teams were Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and the Rams. Those are better teams than the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, they might have a slightly better record. They're worse against the spread. Just when I'm taking a look at the numbers, right? They're 4-6 against the spread this year. 1-4 on the road. Andy Dalton is the wild card, though, because he hasn't been playing these games. It's been Justin Fields. It's a completely different team with Andy Dalton in. That's why I'm personally not betting it, because I don't really know the data. The data on the Bears isn't conclusive to Andy Dalton, right? It's conclusive to the Justin Fields-led Chicago Bears. But I think when you look at the Lions, how they've fared against the spread and the teams that they've done it against, they're better than the Bears, even with Andy Dalton. So that's my personal opinion on the spread, using some data, but the data is a little wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into some player props here. You talked about Tim Boyle, and this was one of my most successful bets last week. Mm-hmm. Tim Boyle interception.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you give out the numbers, but I'm going to put a hefty amount of money on this, I think.
So I didn't put numbers. I just put all of it. Because it's gonna happen, you know. If you have, you know, $800 in your bankroll, you know, might as well just put the 800. It's a foregone conclusion that he's gonna throw at least one.
And the over-under is a half.
As of right now, which is probably gonna go up because he did throw two last week. You know,
it's yeah, I like bet a, it right now.
Right
as
now.
You listen to this show, bet it right now.
Yeah, it's like an NBA player shooting threes. You know, you hope they stay cold so you can get that 0.5 or that 1.5. Tim Boyle, this is going to be his last game of 0.5 because he's going to throw at least two again here. So all of it for Tim Boyle. And then my last one, I got Bad Moon Rising, Darnell Mooney over here. He's everything that they wanted Allen Robinson to be. He blew up completely last week, had over 100 yards. His over-under this week is 57.5. Allen Robinson's still hurt. So Darnell Mooney is going to be wide receiver one. I put $25 to win $46.74. I feel like even when Allen Robinson comes back now, they're going to try to target Mooney because Allen Robinson's all but out the door. I mean, he's a free agent next year. He's not going to re-sign with the Bears. It's going to be over. So Bears minus three, Darnell Mooney over 57.5, and then Tim Boyle to throw his pick, which he'll probably do in the first drive. Those are my props for this game.
Yeah, I really like those. I have a couple of extra plays here, and I'm really into the running backs in this game. When you look at the Detroit Lions offense, there's two players that are significant. There's TJ Hockenson. I don't trust Mr. Boyle to get him the football. And then there's DeAndre Swift. Boyle just needs to get out of his way, pretty much. It's here, take the ball, and get out of the way. Even last week, which was a disastrous offensive performance, right, for the Lions, DeAndre Swift had an incredible game. His over-under right now is at 64.5. He's going to get a million carries. I think he's going to go over. I also, I'm forgetting the exact number right now because I didn't write it down. Bad post fail on my part. But his rushing and receiving yards combined was somewhere around 100 yards. And I just think he's going to be getting every single ball. Like, I doubt there's going to be a time where DeAndre Swift isn't touching football when the Lions are on offense. So I would even consider taking the over there. I forget how high that number was. But if it's right around 100, I think combined rushing receiving, Swift will get you there. The other running back for the Chicago Bears, David Montgomery, I think is going to have an incredible performance. Over under 77.5. I'll take the over. I like him to get in the end zone as well. You mentioned Allen Robinson being out. It's one less player to try and feed the rock to. David Montgomery in his career has just been a monster against the Detroit Lions. Their first matchup this season, he had 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's only played them, I believe, 5 times. In his career, he's had 377 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's going to have a very heavy workload, especially with the backup quarterback, Andy Dalton, being in. You know, they're going to play it conservatively. So to recap, David Montgomery, over 77.5 yards, anytime TD. DeAndre Swift, over 64.5. I like the Lions +3, but I'm not going to bet it. And that's it for the first game of NFL. Drink a couple of beers, get nice and loose on Thanksgiving Day football action, and get ready for what I think could be a better game than – well, it'll be better than the first game at least.
For sure.
In your second game here, and your other team that traditionally always plays on Thanksgiving, the Dallas Cowboys against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders kind of started the season pretty well and have been in flux the last couple of weeks. The Dallas Cowboys have looked really good and they've looked really bad. They're facing a lot of injuries as well, especially on the offensive side, with their star receivers both having either COVID or concussion issues. Definitely keep an eye on the concussion pro. I don't know, Rich, if he's cleared concussion protocols just yet.
CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb.
It's a coin flip, they say. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm betting with my brain saying he's out. And yeah, even if he plays, he can't be that much more than a decoy. The man's, like, probably still putting right now.
Yeah, it just seems unlikely that he's going to play. But keep an eye on it because it might affect some of the other lines as well. I would wait a little bit to bet some of these plays based on how CeeDee Lamb is playing, because I think you could maybe get some more favorable numbers for a Michael Gallup or, you know, someone along those lines on the Dallas offense. Mm-hmm. So let's go right into it. Why don't you kick things off and give us your opinion of the Raiders Cowboys game?
So, I mean, nice lead in there with CeeDee Lamb, because that means there's other players to be had, other players to be bet here. And I think a lot of people have to step up to kind of make up for the Amari Coopers of the world and the CDMs of the world not being in this game. And the two people that I feel are going to step up the most are Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Gallup. I want to bet Dalton Schultz as well, but I don't want to get greedy. So I picked my two horses here. So my bet of the week actually is Ezekiel Elliott over 2.5 receptions. It's $25 to win $39.71. It's nothing crazy because Vegas knows it's going to happen, which means you can go a little heavier than $25. And I will. So Ezekiel Elliott, if the Cowboys have any chance of winning this game, they need to utilize him in the passing game, have Tony Pollard run the rock a little more, just keep him a little fresher. And then on top of that, I have Ezekiel Elliott over 85.5 rushing and receiving combined. I think, like I said, he's got to have to make up those numbers. And that's what he's going to do. 85.5 is not that much when you're catching the ball and running the rock. That's $25 to win $47.73. And then last but not least, I got Michael Gallup over 58.5. If he's wide receiver one, he should hit that number. Any wide receiver one on a team needs to be able to hit that number or your game is not great. $25 wins you $46.74. And last but not least, because you know how much I love interceptions, I think Derek Carr is absolutely going to throw one. The Cowboys are really good this season with at least getting one interception. It's usually always Trayvon Diggs. So maybe he gets another one here. But I think they're going to at least get one against Carr. And that's $25 to win $42.86. So just based on this, I think the Cowboys are going to win the game. I'm not betting the spread. I think it's going to be a close game, but all of my props are going pro Cowboy on this one.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys should be able to bounce back. They had a real ugly performance against the Chiefs, which does give me a little bit of agita when it comes to this big spread. I don't necessarily think that they're going to be that successful and win by more than a touchdown, but I am a little bit afraid of the spread. So I too am going to stay away from it. But one thing that I really like is the over under on this game. You have a Cowboys offense without its top two receivers. You have a Raider offense that just Carr struggling. The run game isn't performing like it should be. I don't know how they're going to get to 50.5. That's where the over-under currently is. I'm going to take the under. I could see this being like, you know, a 21-10 type of game, quite frankly. Like, or it could be even lower scoring than that. I don't think they're going to get to that 50.5. So I'll take the under. The only other player that I like here is Darren Waller. He had a very big performance last week. The Cowboys offense is serviceable, but they're not the best defense in the world. And I think Waller is the type of player who can give that defense some troubles. His over under 71.5. I would take the over. He's really the primary weapon for the Raiders. And when you have a struggling quarterback, they like to feed big body tight ends. So I think he's going to get the rock quite a bit. So that is the Raiders and the Cowboys game. We're both a little afraid of the spread, but which way is your gut leaning for those who just like to hear it?
Honestly, I would do the plus points for the Raiders. Because like you said, I think this game is probably going to be lower scoring than people expect with all these people out. So in a game like that, I always do the plus points. So
yeah, I agree. My gut is telling me the plus 7.5 is probably right. I think this could be 14-10. I think this could be 17-14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's somewhere in that range. You know, I don't expect this to be a very high scoring game at all. I think the Cowboys are probably 4 points better, especially with all the injuries.
Yeah.
But I'm a little afraid of it. I might try a little parlay thing with all the Thanksgiving games just for fun,
just to go crazy.
Just for fun, but we'll have to see how many adult beverages I have before the start of the Lions game.
It'll probably be a lot. We both know that.
I mean, I'm famous for drinking beer while we record this, so imagine my holiday persona.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been keeping up with you the past couple of weeks, especially, you know, with Ted on. I mean, I was on the side, I had it, but you know, I heard someone on this network has a really good whiskey that we got to talk about later. So, I mean, that might have to be the go-to in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, it is. The
guy wears a hat all the time.
It is really good. And in fact, I can probably manufacture a quick ad break for that if I can think of the right link. But through the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, the TRF, it's a great charity that we at the In the Money Media Network work with. There is, if you go to trfinc.org/players, that is the In the Money specific link. You can make a charitable donation to the TRF. I believe it's a $200 charitable donation. And then you get gifted the signature In the Money Media whiskey, and you know what? Yeah, I'll do it because I have a bottle. I'll be right back, America.
I'll keep it going since he is off screen and this is a live performance here. We are shouting out Peter Thomas Fornicell here with his whiskey because I heard about it this week and I have to try it.
This is the bottle. I savor this every. He did one a year ago. I savored it. I have the bottle. I kept it. This one's even better. It's a straight rye whiskey finished in apple brandy barrels. It's incredible. Made by the Albany Distilling Company. And you too can get one if you go to trfinc.org/players. And
I wish I had that for Thanksgiving.
It's really good.
Come, JK come, and
come by, I'll give you a couple of nips good. before you head on.
On the way. So
yeah, definitely check them out. trfinc.org/players. Make a donation. You get a gift of whiskey. And it's incredible. It's one of my favorites on the bar cart. So speaking of Thanksgiving, Rich, we got one more game to talk about on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And that is what could potentially be the best matchup of the evening, but I could also see it being a complete blowout.
Yes.
Which makes this a really hard game for me to bet, because when it's so either or, I kind of want to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Buffalo Bills are going to face the New Orleans Saints. The Bills have looked pretty poor the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They've given up their first place spot in the AFC East. Pretty much since I proclaimed them as the best team in the AFC, they've been stinking, which is my luck all season long so far. And the New Orleans Saints, without Jameis Winston, with our friend Trevor Siemian at cornerback, have looked okay. I mean, they've looked better than I think we expected them to look. The Saints are 6.5-point underdogs against the Bills. Mark Ingram is hurt. Alvin Kamara hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Saints have a lot of injuries. The Bills, in theory, are healthy and high-powered offense and should be able to beat the dog poop out of the Saints. But so far this season, the Bills have thrown up a lot of ugly games, could not stop the run at all last week whatsoever. And coming off of a short week, if you can't stop the run, you don't necessarily have a ton of time to come up with a brand new game plan between Sunday and Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they could potentially struggle again against the run, or at least be exhausted, coming into this game. So that's my little preview of our final game. Why don't you dive into it a little bit deeper with some picks and plays?
So the thing about this game is, if Ingram and Kamara do not play, the guy that you want to put all your money on this week is Tony Jones Jr. Came off of IR. He would be running back one. We don't know his props yet because everything is so much up in the air right now. But if he is the starter for this game, you got to do the over because of what Jonathan Taylor did to them last game with 5 touchdowns. I mean, like, it's not going to change that quickly. And I know Tony Jones Jr. is not Jonathan Taylor, because half the people who are listening to this have no idea who Tony Jones Jr. is. But I'm telling you, you know, when his props drop, you have to go Tony Jones Jr. And now on the other side of the ball, Matt Breida has become the running back one for the Bills, which is weird. It doesn't make any sense. They started against the Jets and they're like, oh, this guy looks good. He has 2 touchdowns. Let's make him, running back one. So, you know, I wouldn't bet anything with Zach Moss. I wouldn't bet anything with Devin Singletary. Matt Breida props, I'm going to hop on, but they're not there yet. We'll have to update that on Twitter as we go. The other bets that are up, last night, the spread for the Bills was only 6. Today it's 6.5. So, you know, it's trending towards that way. $25 wins you $47.73. I think the Bills could win by, 17 points. I think they're going to get healthy this game. This is what you call the chicken noodle soup game. Yeah.
Make it all better.
Yeah. And it's fitting because, it's Thanksgiving. So this is going to be the cranberry sauce game for them. So the other bets I like, again, you're going to see that it's kind of heavy with the Bills. Emmanuel Sanders over 41.5. I think that's really low for him. I really love him as a wide receiver too, or like it's kind of like a wide receiver 2/3 because him and Beasley are kind of interchangeable. And honestly, Beasley is at the same over under. So pick one. You know, I decided to pick Emmanuel Sanders. I know a lot of people love Cole Beasley. You can honestly do both. Both are $25 to win $46.74 because they're both at 41.5. Because again, they're interchangeable players. The last one I like, Tyler Bass over 2.5 extra points. I really think the Bills are going to score at least 3 touchdowns here. So $25 wins you $45.83. Again, come back and look for the Tony Jones Jr. props, Matt Brader props, because Tony Jones Jr., he might get that turkey leg at the end of the game if somehow the Saints sneak out a win, which they won't, but he might be the player of the game here.
So for everyone listening right now, make sure you get on in on Chalkboard, because yes, that's where all these things that have yet to come out will be public information for you guys. Check it out. We've dropped the link on Twitter all the time. You can find it on Twitter at Odds Honest Truth, or you can simply just search for it on the App Store. And then it's real easy. There's a button on the top left corner. You click it, you hit join a board, and you find Odds Honest Truth.
It's like 5 down. Really easy.
Yeah, it's really easy to get involved, and you can get those up-to-the-minute plays. Because we have to record the show in advance, but lines and stuff are constantly moving. So stuff comes out right before the game. The only thing that I'm going to add to your analysis there is I really love Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is just a beast and a half. He, even in a game where the Bills look terrible, he still gets in the end zone and puts up points. So I like Diggs to score a touchdown. I think he's going to get one of those at least 3 that you mentioned. The more we talk about this game, the more I feel pretty comfortable in the Bills spread here. But they've just been weird the last couple of weeks. I hope this is the chicken noodle soup game, because my God, do they need it?
I mean, I don't, but I think it's going to be a game that you could feel comfortable betting the spread on this one. And also I want to add, with Tony Jones Jr., bet his anytime touchdown, because that's going to be a spicy one.
I like that. So guys, that is our analysis of the Thanksgiving Day football games. Again, check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Chalkboard. We'll be giving out some more picks on Thursday as well. Moving from the NFL to the NHL, we're going to throw it on over to Thomas Crincoli with some hockey plays for Friday. Thomas Crincoli has been a great addition to this show. If you check him out right here on Chalkboard, you can see my man's is on a win streak. He gives out multiple winners per night. He's yet to give out a completely cold night, Thomas Crincoli. There's at least 2 winning picks every time he gives them out. So that's the thing with these, right? You can't blindly bet any of us. You got to do some of your own homework here. That's what goes into sports betting. But he's on a 3-game win streak, or 3-bet win streak, and I definitely value his hockey opinion, doing incredible work for us. You can get all of his picks and plays on Chalkboard. But for now, Thomas, why don't you share with what you're cooking with for Friday night?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Tom Crincoli from Odds Honest Truth coming to you for Black Friday picks in the NHL. There's no picks on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. We got the NFL going. We probably have the NBA going. Some college football, maybe. I don't know. All the other sports are probably going. So NHL is going to have to wait till Friday. But I do have 4 big picks for you here tonight, or Friday night, however you want to put it. And we'll start with the Thanksgiving showdown at 1 p.m. You know, normally a slot for football, but we got hockey on this Friday. So that's going to be the New York Rangers at Boston Bruins. I'm thinking Boston money line in this one. I'm very bullish on the Rangers this season. The thing I see here is that Boston has won every single one of these Thanksgiving showdowns when the Rangers play them. It's at Boston. The Rangers will be playing in New York against the Islanders Wednesday night. So watch to see if the Rangers lose that game. Maybe I would shift and maybe fade this one coming back on maybe on a revenge game. But if the Rangers win out against the Islanders, I see them coming back to Boston and probably taking the L in this one. Shesterkin's playing against the Islanders on Wednesday night. I don't know if they'll play them on that Friday. Maybe they'll give him kind of that little holiday break. He's been playing a lot of games. We know Georgiev's been struggling. So if Georgiev's in net on a Friday, take Boston money line. Odds have not been released yet, but I'm sure they'll be pretty close. Both teams are really good this season. So Boston money line, that's our first pick of Friday night. All right, our second pick, we're going to Carolina, who will be playing the Philadelphia Flyers. Carolina just lost one to the San Jose Sharks. I don't think anyone saw that coming. They'll be going up against a Philadelphia Flyers team who's missing Kevin Hayes right now, missing Derek Brassard, missing Ryan Ellis. Carolina's pretty healthy right now. Freddie Anderson's going on Friday. I would say go with that Carolina money line. Check the lines. They're my favorite in this one. I mean, if it's better than minus 150, if it is one minus 150, I'm still confident in taking that. I think it's a surefire lock to take against the Flyers at home. The one thing you do have to watch out for here is if Martin Jones or Carter Hart is starting for the Flyers, because Martin Jones don't have a whole lot of confidence in him. So go with Carolina money line in this one. And that's my next pick for the night. Okay, for my third pick of Friday night for Black Friday picks, going with the New York Islanders, and here's why. So a lot of people know that the New York Islanders have almost their entire team on COVID protocol right now. They're facing some injuries. They're going to be playing the Rangers on Wednesday night, and this is where I'm going with this. So if they lose to the Rangers, I have so much confidence that they are going to come back on the Friday, and they have to get their first win at UBS Arena. For those who don't know, the Islanders have a new arena. They have played 3 home games in a row after starting the entire season on the road. They're going to get some people healthy back from COVID protocol, maybe some injuries. Right now, they're going against the Rangers on Wednesday night, missing Ryan Pulock, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Josh Bailey, Zdeno Chara, Ross Johnson, Adam Pellick, Kiefer Bellows, and Andy Green. That's like their entire defense. And some of their most key forwards. So if they're getting healthier, they're going to be coming back home against the Penguins. Thanksgiving's going to suck if they lose to the Rangers, because you know that team is going to be wanting to just go back to the rink on a Friday night and just get this first win out of the way against another divisional rival in the Penguins. So it doesn't really matter to me. If they remain injured, maybe fade this one. But if you see some of those big key names come back, definitely hop on the Islanders. I expect the line to be moving in the Penguins' favor right now, just based on how the things are going for the Islanders. I just think this is a great opportunity to buy the Islanders low as they're just kind of getting walloped in their new arena. You know they want to get this first win off their chest. If they win to the Rangers, I think it's momentum builder. You know, they might play a trap game against the Rangers on a Wednesday night. Don't let that bother this pick. I think taking the Islanders against the Penguins money line, I'm not sure what the puck line will be in this game, but I think it's going to favor the Penguins right now for -1.5. We'll see. Take a money line. I think it'll be probably better than -130 odds. If I'm not mistaken, I can't see it being anything greater than that on either side. Pretty close, tight teams when they are both healthy. So, and honestly, I think the Islanders are better at that point anyway. So, yeah, my Islanders money line as my third pick of Friday night. Okay, for my last pick of Friday night, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to be full. Everybody's going to hopefully be just sitting on their couch, just snoozing away all the food that they feel horrible about stuffing in their face on Thursday. Last pick, anyway, is the Dallas Stars against the Colorado Avalanche. And you're probably thinking I'm crazy right now. The Avalanche can score at will. They are probably the most dominant team right now. But you saw what just happened to them against Ottawa. They have some defensive holes. They can be exposed. I see a Dallas team with a stud of a lineup that has yet to flourish. They're definitely not playing up to their skill set. They have Jake Ottinger, who might be the best goalie prospect in the league right now, best rookie goalie in the league, who has started 3 games, I think has won 3 games. If he's lost one, I missed it. But Jake Ottinger, I think, is a real deal. The way I've seen him play, what the Dallas Stars just did to the Edmonton Oilers the other night, Edmonton Oilers have been one of the hottest teams in the league going in. I think you are buying the Dallas Stars on the uprise, sell the Avalanche high right now. You get them. You could probably get the Dallas Stars at +1.5. If not, take them money line, sprinkle a little bit, but the play will be 1 unit on the Dallas Stars +1.5 puck line. If Jake Ottinger starts, and then the money line for the Dallas Stars, sprinkle a little bit I love doing that. You know, if the puck line hits, you're getting your money back. And then if they take the win too, your profit's skyrocketing and you're not spending that much more off the unit just to take that money line. It's a little lower risk move I like to do. I think it's keeps you from spending your bankroll too much. And yeah, those are my picks for tonight. So we'll recap. So we'll start at the 1 o'clock slate. We got Boston money line against the New York Rangers. Definitely hammer that if Georgiev's starting for the Rangers. The next game, we're going to go to Philadelphia, where we're taking Carolina money line. Definitely monitor the goaltending situation there. I'm pretty sure it will be Freddie Anderson versus Martin Jones, but things can change. If Freddie Anderson's in net, I got a pretty good feeling that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to take that one. The next pick we'll move on to is the New York Islanders. Take them at home, especially if they lose to the Rangers, for the third home loss in a row in their new arena. They have to win the fourth one. If they lose that third one, they have to win the fourth one. I like them either way. I think, like I said, I think they're going to get healthy and be back for Friday. And the last pick, my favorite team right now, the Dallas Stars, Jake Ottinger, flourishing offense, great defense. I think this team's going to be sneaky good in the playoffs at the end of the year. While they had such a bad start, things they're having kind of controversy come out of the locker room right now too. So anyway, I'll shut up. Those are my picks. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving and let's win, everyone. Cheers.
All right. Thank you so much, Thomas. Moving from the NHL to college basketball, which is alive and cooking in our chalkboard community. Lots of fun picks and plays from the likes of David Dubovy, who will be sharing some picks for Friday and Saturday. But we also have guys like Alan Studer and Spencer Lugenbuehl from the Red Board Rewind sharing NCAA basketball picks in there as well. So it's a real hot community for a lot of really fun picks. But David is the one joining us on this show. And David, why don't you take it away? Who are you betting this weekend?
What's going on, everyone? Back for another week of college basketball bets. Here's three games to keep an eye on this upcoming weekend. Starting off this Friday, the 26th, we got a great game. Fifth-ranked Duke versus best team in the country, Gonzaga. 6-0 versus 6-0, Banchero versus Holmgren. Gonzaga's coming off a huge blowout win against UCLA. I got the Zags pulling this one off and covering the spread. Second game on Saturday, the next day after, the 27th, 18th-ranked BYU versus Utah. Both teams come to this undefeated. I got this game being a really fun and close game. I have BYU winning. I think I got the over on this one as well. And I believe Utah will cover this game. Lastly, number 2-ranked UCLA versus UNLV. UCLA, like I said, coming off that tough loss against Gonzaga at 5-1. UNLV is 3-2. They lost to Michigan by 13 and Wichita State by 1. This game's going to be much closer than what people think. I got UCLA winning, the overhitting, and I believe UNLV will cover. Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you guys next week.
All right. Thanks so much, David. And now we're going to actually share a play that is right here in our chalkboard community. So for anyone wondering what chalkboard is all about, this is what it's all about, is that you can share your picks and analysis and have discussions and come to the best picks. Rich, why don't you talk it through?
So we got a user in our chalkboard, little message board here, PXP_Blake, and he's really high on the Murray State Racers, -4. He said that his old job, he actually worked with the school. So, I mean, he knows more about the school than most people watching the game. He doesn't think they're going to have any trouble. He really thinks that it's a good bet. He said, give me the Racers -4, and he's been on a hot streak as well. So, I mean, I'm looking at he's definitely someone to look forward to in the chalkboard community. He likes to bet, you know, NCAA basketball. And he did a lot of fun, overs for, the NFL. So definitely get on our board. You can talk with PXP_Blake, who has 905 bets, which 905. Why, you know, you got to shoot for the 1,000 at this point. So there's going to be a lot of bets from him. So Murray State Racers -4, just a little add in there to kind of tie in our chalkboard and in the money community together right there.
And that game, I believe, tips off tonight at 7:30. So definitely get that bet in. Get that bet in pretty quickly. Before the line changes too much. Speaking of the NCAA, you know him, you love him. He's been on the show since week one. That is Alan Studer of the StuCast, talking about all kinds of NCAA football plays this weekend. He's also very active in all of our college sports boards. So definitely get involved and start repping some picks. But for now, Mr. Studer, take it away. How are we winning on college football this weekend?
Hey, thanks, Craig. Welcome back in. College football, two games for you. Coming off a 2-1 week last week on the show. Gave out a couple games that did not fall my way on chalkboard app, but we're going to have a winning week. We are going to have a banner week because this week there's a game I absolutely love. I already gave out a game of the year. This is like game of the year part two. I don't know. We'll get to that. Two plays for you here from the StuCast. First play, Miami, the Hurricanes from Coral Gables. They are going to take on the Duke Blue Devils. And David Cutcliffe, as I mean, that man walking maybe at Duke. This team just has been blown out at every turn. I mean, this is bad football to watch. And you're watching a Miami team that's galvanized. A lot of talk, rumor, innuendo, Manny Diaz possibly leaving. But Tyler Van Dyke has stepped in over the past 4 weeks, been the ACC newcomer of the week, stepped in 300 yards a game. He's throwing touchdowns. Has he made some, you know, rookie mistakes, especially in that Florida State game? Yes. You know, he can be a little bit slow to start, but this offense is motoring. And I think there's every chance in the world they easily put up a 40 or 50 burger on the Dukies. And I don't think that Duke can really score too much. You're going to see a lot of Mateo Durant on the ground. They'll get some points. I do like the over here, but the play officially for the show is going to be Miami laying the three touchdowns. I think they wipe them out. Something along the lines of 56-17 or something. I could easily see that. I think Miami runs away with this. If you think back to last year, this Miami team's pretty much the same. A lot of close games, a lot of one possession, one score games, except when they played Duke. Last year they played Duke, blew them out by 44. I expect that to happen here down in Durham. My game of the year, part two, if there is such a thing. I'm going back with the team I gave out as the game of the year the first time. I'm going with the Demon Deacons from Winston-Salem. This team has been so good to us. This team is a team that the odds on is true. The StuCast, everybody loves. Dave Clawson with the mesh offense that he runs, it just puts up points. It is good as gold. And this week he's going up against a BC defense that is very eh. It's very eh. You look at what they did. They allowed Jordan Travis to really have his way with them pretty much most of that game. They settled down in the second half. I think Wake easily surpasses the 30. And they've been doing that consistently against pretty much everybody except for Clemson, and I think I can explain that. Clemson's the only good defense they've played all season. You look back at their schedule this year, Clemson's the only one that has a kind of talent to, you know, still stick with the receivers downfield while Sam Hartman's waiting for that mesh. He was getting sacked and pressured all day. That's not going to happen here. On the flip side, Boston College is a rejuvenated team. You know, coming into the season, I love BC. I love the Screaming Eagles. Phil Yurkovic, Zay Flowers, that offensive line going to have multiple NFL players coming out of it. They look like they were going to fit the bill and do what Wake is doing this year. But Phil gets hurt, Zay Flowers goes down, Dennis Grossel comes in, and they completely change their offense. Doesn't look very pretty. I think you're still seeing residual points from that. Last week, I had the over in that game, and what really cost me was Florida State was able to get tremendous amounts of pressure. Jermaine Johnson, a cast off from Georgia, is tearing up the ACC. Go figure, a guy from Georgia tearing up a league. And really, Yurkovic did not have an answer for it in the first half. Comes out in the second half, leads three straight scoring drives. They were down at the 25 with the opportunity to win the game through a pick. Just a little bit on Jeff Hafley. But I think here you're going to see Boston College able to throw. Phil Yurkovic's going to get his yards. He's going to get his points. I see this as easily a 38-35, 42-38 type game. And that's the kind of game that Wake has been playing all season long. I think there's some value on the BC line if you're so inclined. I think they're a nice little underdog in the spot at home, trying to close out the season. Deeks playing for a lot here, though. I'm going to ride with the total, though. Give me the over. Currently 63.5. I don't want 63.5. 63 is not the play. I want 70. I want over 70. I want a plus 140 play. Let's get it. Now, let's cash. Check out more of our plays from the StuCast and all our friends here at Odds Honest Truth on the Chalkboard app. We got some winners for you this weekend. Tons of things going on. Until then, until this weekend, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Back to you guys.
Hey, guys. John Hazlett here with some picks for you. We're going to start with Thursday. I'm going to give you all three games for Thanksgiving. Number one, I'm going to take the Lions plus 3 against the Bears. You heard me right. Lions plus 3 against the Bears. I actually think this is a spot the Lions might be able to get their first win. They've played pretty much everybody close. And I think this is a week that they might be able to pull it off. The next game, I'm going to take the Cowboys minus 7.5 over the Raiders. I also like this over 51.5. I prefer to have that game under 7. I may actually buy it to get it under 7, but I'll wait to do that till tomorrow to see where the line lands in the morning. If it happens to go up to 8, I'm off the game. But that's what I like. I'll take the Cowboys in that scenario. And then the late game tomorrow, I'll take the Bills minus 6 over the Saints. 6 might be a little bit big of a number, but I think the Bills can pull ahead late, and you know they'll win it by at least that much. On to Sunday, I'm going to take the Colts plus 3 against Tampa. I like the way the Colts have been rolling. I think if they keep the ball on the ground more than they do the air, I think they can really make a run here. And Tampa's going to score their points, don't get me wrong. But I don't like what they do defensively whatsoever. And I definitely think with Jonathan Taylor, he could take advantage. The next game, I'm only going to give you the over, Pats and Titans. I think Pats 6.5 is probably right where the number needs to be. So I'm gonna lay off that, but I will take the over because I could see this game being, you know, 28-20 or something in that scenario. And the last one I'll give you is Chargers-Broncos, Chargers minus 2.5. I think these teams are very similarly built as far as their offenses go with one major factor, the quarterback. One of them has one and one of them doesn't. So I'll take the Chargers minus 2.5. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Let's hope we make some money.
Wrap it all up with a look at the NFL on Sunday. Obviously, this is recorded on Wednesday, so we do not have player prop lines or anything like that. So just taking a look at the spreads. If you want to hear some further analysis, we are dropping little mini shows every Sunday morning on Twitter exclusively. So check us out at over at Odds Honest Truth. We do a little Rich's Best Bet, a little Craig's Best Bet mini show. 2 minutes, 3 plays. Taking a look at player props and any movements to the lines that may have happened between now and Sunday. So make sure you're following on Twitter for those, as well as anything that comes out on our Chalkboard community, because there's all sorts of members dropping their picks and plays and analysis. And although Rich has been on fire and we have a lot of fun making content for you guys, some of these guys in the board are real serious bettors. We're making lots of money and just kind of dropping plethoras of knowledge. So if I haven't plugged it enough, go check out Chalkboard. But really, I just think it's a valuable resource for all sports bettors to have one place to talk and track their bets. So let's talk about some spreads on Sunday. Let's dive on over to the Carolina Panthers against the Miami Dolphins. And is Cam Newton still going to be the starter? Because he looked real good last week. He looked real good last week. I don't know who this Cam that we got Super Cam back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I know they didn't win that game, but he looked real good, real excited. I think he wasted a little too much energy early, but I can't blame him. He got hyped.
Yeah.
How are you betting this one?
Oh, Panthers, 100%. I mean, the spread right now is only 1.5. $25 wins you $47.73. I just think the Panthers are a much better team. They have a better defense. I think they're going to give that Miami offensive line troubles all day. Tua is going to be running for his life, and he's not very good. Just kind of thinking on the fly. I do like that Miami used their tight end Gesicki a lot last week because he's obviously one of their best players. Him and Waddle are that entire team at this point. But I think that the Panthers can contain them. I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to run all over the place and probably get hurt in the second quarter. but yeah, DJ Moore can pick up the slack. You know, there's a lot of players that, you know, even Robbie Anderson is alive and well now under Cam Newton, which we thought he was deceased up until 2 weeks ago, at least in fantasy standpoint. But yeah, Panthers 1.5. I think that's an automatic. You put that one on the board. That's already a win in your, you know, sports book.
I really agree with you. I think this is a scenario in which Vegas doesn't quite realize who the Dolphins played last week.
Mm. Yeah, like, that'll do Dolphins it.
Won, and they won pretty big, but it was against the New York Jets with Joe Flacco at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's – meanwhile, the Panthers went toe-to-toe with a pretty good Washington football team, you know, and Super Cam, who – has been on the bench, is still, he played two snaps the week before, started his first game. I think he's going to get into full swing. I 1.5, I think, you know, I think they're at least a field goal better than the Dolphins, but I think it could be, I think it could be bigger than that. So I really like that spread as well. I'm going to take a look at the San Francisco 49ers. I think this is a team that I think is a little underrated. They are on a two-game win streak. They had a very, very impressive performance against the The Packers, right? Mm-hmm. No.
No, who you took 49ers?
Yeah. Oh, I'm blanking. I'll just make an edit because I'm having a brain fart.
It was the Rams.
It was the Rams. Yeah, it wasn't the Packers. Yeah, okay. So one game I'm taking a look at is the San Francisco 49ers against the Minnesota Vikings. I think that this is a team that I think they're being a little bit overlooked, honestly. I think they're probably a little bit better than their record would let you believe. Right now they're third in the NFC West, but they're coming off of two straight wins. They had a very dominant performance against the Los Angeles Rams. They beat down the Jaguars last week. That's really no surprise. But they're playing very confident. They can get after the quarterback. They have a very strong defensive front. The offense is looking good. They're able to put up points. Jimmy G is being safe with the football. And you look at the Minnesota Vikings team, they're coming off of a very strong performance against the Green Bay Packers. They won that game by 3 points. And I'm not saying that they aren't good. They're a quality team. You know, they're also on a two-game win streak. But there's something about this Packer team that I'm like, they're not quite the Green Bay Packers I remember. And even the Chargers, who are a good football team, there's still some, like, weird wishy-washy stuff with that team. Like, they're young, and they're not quite this, like, this gelled unit. There's something about the 49ers that their confidence in the way they're playing the game, I think they're going to put the smack down on the Vikings. I think they're going to probably win this one by a touchdown. I really love what Deebo Samuel's doing. It's a bit of a gut play, but kind of basing it off the way the 49ers are performing and how confident that team is speaking right now. I think they're better than a field goal. So I'll take the San Francisco 49ers minus 3. What is your next play for NFL Sunday, Rich?
I mean, the team that you said is just not gelling and is poop is my team that I think is going to win this week.
I'm not saying they're poop, but there's some weird stuff. They should have beat the dog poop out of the Steelers, and it took them a long time to get that win.
I mean, they were beating the dog poop out of Steelers, and then, you know, stuff happened. They were up a lot, but, you know, whatever. They finished, which is what the Vikings don't do. They don't know how to finish. So, except against the Packers, which happened last week. NFL's weird. But Chargers minus 2.5 against the Broncos. I'm not a huge Broncos fan. I think that, you know, they need to really fine-tune the quarterback position. And right now it's just Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be able to keep this game in close and this team in contention, honestly. Chargers, I think, are still a Super Bowl dark horse team. I believe that, you know, they might not win their division now because the Chiefs are the Chiefs again. But I think the Chargers are absolutely going to get into the playoffs and they can go deep into the playoffs because they have the young nucleus. They have Justin Herbert. They have Austin Eckler, who had 4 touchdowns last week. You know, they got Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Jared Cook, and they got the defense. So, I mean, it just on paper, this game's not going to be close. So if you're giving me 2.5, I'm going to say they're going to win by 7.5. So Chargers, $25 wins you $45.83. And Vegas knows, because it's not the typical $47.73, which is our go-to on this show. $2 less, but I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that $20 win right there.
Yeah, I got to agree. I know I just pooped all over the Chargers, but they're a significantly better team than the Broncos. Yes. Significantly. Yeah. I think they're going to have a really good game. Now, Rich, this next game that I threw out in our text messages, and this is going to be our last spread for NFL Sunday. I think, honestly, it's a real toss-up. And I kind of threw it out as a throwaway just off of last week's performance. But when you really look at these two teams over the course of the season, these are some very good teams in the AFC. And what I'm talking about is the New England Patriots against the Tennessee Titans. Last week, the Titans fell into a trap game. They lose 22-13 against the Houston Texans, the lowly Houston Texans. But prior to that, this was one of the most dominant teams in football. They were on a huge win streak. They had beat teams like the Rams 28-16. They had gone toe-to-toe with the Bills. They had blown out the Kansas City Chiefs. They did lose to the New York Jets. But, you know, whatever. Like, maybe they're just bad against bad teams. But you look at the New England Patriots, and this is a team that is – really just getting dominant at an interesting time in the season. They had lost in overtime a couple of weeks back to the Patriots, but since then have just been beating down everybody. They beat the Jets 54-13. They beat your Chargers by a field goal. They beat the Panthers 24-6. They beat the Browns 45-7, and they shut out the Falcons 25-0. There's a small piece of me that thinks that last week's game for the Titans was a fluke, but I don't know. I think there's some glaring holes there. I think that without Derrick Henry, this team is a little bit one-dimensional, and a one-dimensional team against Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, never seems to perform well. I'm going to take the Patriots minus 6.5 here. I think they'll do what they did to the Rams, you know, or what they did to the Browns. I just kind of feel like this is going to be a one-sided game. Despite how good the Titans have been, I like the Patriots minus 6.5. I think they're a touchdown better. It's a bit of a coin flip though. I could see the Titans having a bounce back game, and Mike Vrabel knows Belichick very well, and it could go that other direction. But what do you think? I mean, I don't know. I think this game's open to a fun debate. What's your gut telling you?
I think this is where the balloon starts to deflate for the Titans. I think last week was a bit of a fluke. Yes, obviously they should have beat the Texans, but it's a division game. And Tyrod Taylor said, you know, I want to keep my job. And, You know, he's got – there are some good players on the Texans. I mean, there's one good player. I'm going to say Brandon Cooks is the good player. But, you know, this week the Patriots, they always eliminate the other team's best player. They at least try to do that. So if you eliminate A.J. Brown, the running game essentially is already eliminated. You don't have Derrick Henry back there. You have a wish-wash of random people off the street.
They've waived Adrian Peterson.
Exactly. So you have McNichols, you have Foreman, and then you have Hilliard. I mean, they're not household names. Like, you know, the way that the defensive line for the Patriots is going to handle them, I mean, you can't bet any of those guys. You can't have those guys in your fantasy lineup. And then A.J. Brown is also very risky this week, too, because he's going to be covered by probably J.C. Jackson. And they straight up eliminate people. You know, they eliminated Kyle Pitts last week. If you can eliminate Kyle Pitts, you could probably eliminate A.J. Brown. So this is going to be a game that's going to come down to like a person like Westbrook on the Titans just trying to go over 100 yards. And I don't see it happening. This is not the week for the Titans. I definitely think the Patriots win by at least 10 points. So I'm with you. We agree on this one.
That makes you feel a little bit better because, you know, I for one, don't love the angle of betting a team coming off of losing a trap game. Because they usually come back a little angry, right, and like want something to prove. But I just don't see matchup-wise how they're going to do that against the New England Patriots. This is a team on fire. They're clicking at the right time of the season. Mac Jones is not doing what rookie quarterbacks normally do and scrambling and throwing dumb footballs. Like he's not losing games. That's all Mac Jones needs to go in there and do is just work the system and not lose the game. And that's what he's doing. So that's going to do it. That's another fantastic edition of the Odds Honest Truth. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week and every week. We greatly appreciate it. Please follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Seagorse94. You can follow Rich at Coda522. You can follow the show at Odds Honest Truth. And then, of course, check us out over on Chalkboard for all of our picks, plays, and analysis, and communicate with, you know, our little community that we're building there. A lot of really talented, really smart sports bettors are in there sharing their picks, sharing their knowledge, and it's a great way to track your plays all in one convenient location. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much to the In the Money Media Network, Peter Thomas Fornatel, Jonathan Kinchin, Drew Coatney, the business manager. We talked about it before. TRFinc.org/players to get your whiskey. I'm wearing the JK line, Old Smoke Clothing. Use promo code MONEY at checkout for free shipping, I think that gets you. I don't know. It's a cool line, though, the JK.
It'll work.
Thank you so much to Rich and to Thomas and to David and to Alan Studer and for everyone else who contributes to this show. Thank you so much to all you, the listeners at home. And until next week, allegedly, that'll do it.